Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
Hey there. It's good to see you guys, and welcome to anyone who's watching online elsewhere, and we're so glad that you're able to join us too. My name's Brett. I'm one of the pastors here, in case you don't know me, and they let me talk here on occasion. We've been in a series called Dangerous Prayers that we started last week, and this is the second week of three. And one of the things that I hear people ask, maybe it's the question under the question, sometimes when they're in my office or meeting with me as a pastor, is they want to know where God is. Like, where is he? And I wonder sometimes, you know, we could endlessly talk about all of the things in this world that are bad enough, or the things in your life that are hard enough. You could trace over the last couple of years or decades maybe, and say, where was God there? I can't see him. I can't dust for his fingerprints anywhere here. I can't trace his outline. I can't figure it out. And I think that sometimes as a society, we can get stuck there as individuals, and we just can't figure out where God is. And that's fair, right? I'm sure you've had those times. I think for me, just lately, I've been in that zone. And for me, it hasn't been about like personal tragedy. I just feel like God isn't close lately. Anybody else felt like that lately? No, just one person. Thank you, Bree. God just feels kind of far away, and I don't know what to do with those times, especially when, like, as a professional Christian, sometimes you don't know what to do with that. And I think it's worth remembering our story. What do we do when we can't figure out where God is? And if we trace back to our first parents and kind of how humanity has interacted with God, we believe that God started off wanting to be with us always, showing up like to walk with humanity like friends through the day. But we opted to leave that. We did. And we said that we would rather be able to be in control of our own little world. We would rather be like God in our own sphere of influence. And we don't need the God of the universe. We want to kind of be in control. And we've seen this played out through history in dozens and dozens of ways. The most clear picture that I can find is the picture of the Caesars in the Roman Empire. Here's a picture of Julius Caesar. This is a sculpture of Julius Caesar. He was the reigning over the known world when Jesus was born. And notice how when people that want to be in control want themselves to be displayed, they always pick something like stone. So something strong, something firm, something that's not going anywhere, something tough, something that's going to stand. They want to be strong. It's also worth remembering that strong things are brittle, right? And we see this play out in so many ways. You do in your family. Who gets to be in control of the show that we're going to watch tonight? Maybe a little less of a problem these days. Everybody has their own screen and can go their own direction. Who gets to be in control of what the conversation is about? Who gets to decide who spends money on what? You see this play out at work. You see this play out on the news. People just want, like the Caesars of the ancient world, and the toddlers that run around in your house, they want to run the world, don't they? And so do you, and so do I. And so the issue isn't, in our history, it's not, why can't I find God? The question from God's perspective is, why did you leave? Why did you leave? I wanted to be with you, and you said you wanted to do this on your own. Why did you leave? You wanted to be in control. But then we encountered a world that's really scary and hard. You deal with a world that is complex and difficult, and I do too. There's factors in the world that we can't control. And in the ancient world, there were these ways of trying to gain control over the world, and kind of in our pursuit of trying to control everything. And they would name some aspect of the world that they were trying to control. Let's take harvest. For example, you know, and the world is scary. You may not get enough rain this year. You might get too much rain this year. Either one is bad for harvest. And that has to do with your income. That has to do with feeding people. That has to do with survival. The world is difficult. So what are we going to do? And they would name some aspect of the world that they wanted to get control of, and they would kind of create this like little god out of that thing. And the old ancient world for those things are idols. Idols. Maybe here's a picture of a few ancient idols. And, you know, we don't carry little stone, figures around anymore. And these would be prayed to. These would be worshipped in an attempt to gain control over, let's say, harvest or fertility or birth, safe birth, or over good business or over good weather or over health, physical health. All things that are honestly good. They're good. But in our attempt to gain control over them, they ended up controlling us. And we just have different ones these days, right? We have our phones and we have our entertainment and we have success. And we may not have harvest, but we have paychecks. We may not have physical health concerns in the same way they did, but we have whole new ones today. In this attempt to gain control, we end up getting controlled by these things that are hard and rigid, just like how the Caesars wanted to be, you know, immovable and strong. And when I'm in this spot that I feel like I've been in the last little bit of like, I just don't feel you, God. I just don't feel you. I wonder if it's because I'm either trying to get too much control in my world or whether it's because I'm letting something control me. Too much. And there's a fantastic little place in scripture in the Psalms. It's our prayer book in the middle of our scripture. And David wrote one of them. It's a very famous psalm called Psalm 51. And it's after he ended up wanting to get control over his world and by sleeping with a woman that he wanted to sleep with who wasn't his wife, it was his friend's. And then everything spiraled out of control and that situation ended up controlling him after he had his friend murdered to cover up his sin. And the woman's found to be pregnant and the child dies. And David is, he writes this in this kind of extreme situation. He writes this really beautiful prayer called Psalm 51. I just want to check out a couple of verses here as we're talking about dangerous prayers. It says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, you God, will not despise." A couple of things that I find fascinating there. First of all, he says, you don't delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings, which is how people would try to get control over whatever it is they were trying to control. They're a little idol. They would sacrifice for that thing. They would try to prove how much they loved that thing through how big of a sacrifice they would give. And in that way, that thing would end up controlling them. And part of what he's saying here is God is not interested in the game of control. He's so different than us. God doesn't want to rule the world like an emperor, and he doesn't want to rule you. For some of us, we think God being mad and angry and totally upset with us, we're like, well, that fits. That's really easy. That makes sense to me, because we just imagine that God is just kind of angry all the time, and we deserve it. Like he wants to control us. And here David says, I know that's not your heart, Lord. I know you're not out to try to control me, and I don't have to figure out how to try to control you through sacrifice. But he has this dangerous prayer. Break me, God, break me. Break me, God. Break me. Break me, God. Break me. A broken and a contrite heart you will not despise, a broken spirit, Lord. Contrite is a word that I don't think anyone uses. Does anyone use that word? No. No, you don't. I don't think. Contrite is a definition's been fairly lost. It's related to concrete, interestingly. It's when stone is ground so fine that it could be scattered on top of water and not sink. That's the definition of contrite. It's when stone has been reduced to powder, to where it won't even break the surface tension of water. I don't know if it still is, but it at least it used to be a few years ago. Powder makeup, you know, like women have those little compacts. That's contrite. What's in there? That's contrite. That's been colored. That stone that's been ground so fine that it's soft. Two times in there, David says a broken spirit, O Lord, you will not despise, a broken and a contrite heart. And here's the thing. When I feel far away from God, something that I haven't prayed is break me, God, break me. I haven't really pressed into that. God, break me. Break me, God. Break me. Instead of trying to hold on and be in control, or instead of being controlled by something, man, I could be saying, break me, God, break me. The book of Isaiah is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I admit it's one of the most difficult because it's super long. Has anybody actually tried to read Isaiah all the way through? Not super easy, right? You get to like chapter 47 and you're like, we got it. We got it. But basically, the first 39 chapters is about God saying, you have idols, you were trying to be in control, and then they ended up controlling you, your idols ended up controlling you, the stuff you're chasing, the stuff you want, the stuff that you think is going to make you happy, and it's going to ruin you. So turn around, turn around, turn around. And then from chapter 40 all the way to the end, through 62 maybe, is God saying, okay, now that we did the breaking. We did the breaking. In their world, it was called the Babylonian Empire. Not nice stuff. The Babylonian Empire swept over the Euphrates River and crushed Israel and hauled them off into exile because they were clinging to their idols. And they wanted to be in control, and they were being controlled. And from chapter 40 on, God is speaking to a people that have been broken and saying, let me heal you. Let me restore you. Let me love you. Let me pull you back to myself. Let me open up your heart to me. And he has this little bit that I want to look at in chapter 57. Just a few verses. They're kind of long verses. 57, 13 through 15. When you cry for help, let your idols save you. The wind will carry them off. A mere breath will blow them away. Your idols never cared about you anyway. Your success that you're chasing, it never cared about you. Trying to make that person happy all the time, they never worked for you. All of these things that you're chasing, they never worked for you anyway. He says, but whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. It's about God providing with people and being with people. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Like in my little world, my guess is what is going on is I'm trying to control my world by not investing much. Life's been a little challenging in the last 6 months. Has anyone noticed? Yes. And I think I'm just kind of like done, you know? And my tank's just sort of empty. But that is a way that I'm maintaining control is just by going, nah, I don't care. I'm not going to care today. I'm going to try like a little bit, but I'm not going to try any more than a little bit. Is anybody else waking up like that? And I'm just kind of out. And I let it control me. You know, one more video on YouTube is maybe it for me. One more chance to sleep in instead of waking up early and taking care of my body by exercising. One more chance to do something I want to do, and instead of investing in my wife or my kids or my friends. And those things end up controlling me. You know, and here God says, I am high and exalted, but I dwell with the lowly and the contrite in heart to revive them and to build them up. And maybe I need to let the world break me a little bit. Maybe I need to let God break me a little bit. Break me, God, break me. Break me, God, break me. You know, I have these individual idols. But that word broken, shabar in Hebrew, can you say shabar wherever you are? Shabar, now you know a little Hebrew, it'll be fun at dinner. Is used 45 times in the Old Testament. 28 of those times it is referring to God breaking a people group. A people group, not individuals, a people group. Pretty much all of the time he's talking about Israel, his people. He is going to break his people because he loves them. And so often I find myself, though, when I'm talking about a group of people, the problem with idols that are shared among a group of people is we don't notice that we have an idol because we all have the same thing. We all have the same thing. And we all encourage each other, you know, like to keep that one because we're all doing that one. You know, in our country, you know, an easy one might be consumerism or something. You know, in our world, and if in Cape Girardeau, it might look different than it does in New York City or Portland. In my family, it might look different than your family. You know, I'm sure every group has the idols that they default to. Every group, every church has the idols that they default to. Every political party has the idols that they default to. Every region in a country has the idols that they default to. It's a part of being human. We are idol factories, you know. But I wonder if instead of my prayers being like, God, help us, help us, help us, I wonder about whatever group I'm in, if my prayer about my group needs to be, God, break us, God, break us. Break us, God, break us. On behalf of my church, maybe I need to be praying about us, break us, God, break us. So that he can dwell with us. So that he can revive us. So that he can build us up. You know, this is the paradox of following a crucified God like Jesus. And just to bring it into the New Testament for a little bit, a passage that I love, you've heard me preach on a few times if you've been around, 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. This is one of the first Christians, Paul, talking to a church that he's trying to care for. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I'm not trying to be in control. We're going to let God be God. I don't have to be God. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. Check this one out. I want to focus on this one a little bit. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So when Paul talks about what it means to live following Jesus, he says we are going to carry around in us the death of Jesus. That being broken is a part of it. It's a part of it. We are going to carry in us the death of Jesus. And God wants to offer you brokenness as a gift. is a gift so that we can be like him. Now, I don't think that God's into pain. I don't think that God loves suffering. I don't think that God's into punishment. I don't think that's it. I think that this is the place that we can offer something to others, because if we don't know how to be broken, then we just end up trying to be another Caesar made out of stone, trying to run our little world. But God himself lets himself be broken. He says, we carry around in our body the death of Jesus, but life is at work in you. That when we allow ourselves to be broken, break me, God, break me. The beautiful thing is that we get to offer life to others. God puts his life in us, and we experience something like resurrection over and over and over again, and we get to offer life to others. We get to offer life to others. So every time that I want to say something that's going to wound someone, I get to say, break me, God, break me. Break me, God, break me, and maybe I'll hold my tongue. Every time I should do something that is going to be hard and uncomfortable and I just don't want to, I get to pray, break me, God, break me. Break me, God, break me. Every time I don't want to get out of bed or I don't want to apologize, every time I want to put something in my body or in my brain that doesn't belong there, I get to say, break me, God, break me. Break me, God, break me, because he dwells with the contrite to revive them. And in our body, we get to carry around the death of Jesus so that we can offer life, life to the world. The best people you know are people who know how to live broken. The sweetest people you know have let tenderness come into them, right? The best people that you know how to be broken in a sweet way. When Jesus is gathering his disciples for what's called the Last Supper, I just want to look at Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. He says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he, say this word with me, broke it. Let's try that again. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. He took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is my body. And he broke it. Throughout the centuries, that's been called the Eucharist. The Eucharist, this meal that Christians share with each other. It's called the Eucharist, which means the good gift. You, meaning good, and charis, meaning gift. I named my daughter Charis. She's good gift. The Eucharist is a good gift, and the Eucharist is a broken gift. The Eucharist is a good gift. And the Eucharist is a broken gift. This is my body. The church is called the body of Christ. When Jesus wants to give a gift to the world, he offers them a broken church. A church that knows how to be broken, that knows how to say, I don't need to be in control and I don't want to be controlled. I want to offer my life for you. I want to offer my life for you, which is so much better. And maybe instead of stone, we could be like bread that's being kneaded under God's hand. Like worked by God over and over again, soft, capable of being molded so that it could be a gift for the world, not made out of stone like one of the Caesars, but something that can be bent by God so that it can be a gift to others. Break me, God. Break me. Break me, God. Break me. Last week, Ron started off this series and he introduced a practice that I want to talk about for the next couple weeks still. It's called the Prayer of Examine. It's old. It's nice and old. Some of our best practices are nice and old. And the Prayer of Examine, there's a bit of a way of walking through that in the app. If you click on Weekend and scroll down, it's Prayer of Examine. I think it's also in the bulletin. And basically, more or less, it's just taking time at the end of the day or at the beginning of a day and reflecting on the last 24 hours with the Lord and saying the first section is about God, show me where you were. Show me where you were. It helps me to write it down. When I'm practicing an examine well, a couple times a week, I find that so life-giving. Say, God, show me where you were. And just, I don't have to force it. I just let him bring stuff to mind. Sometimes it's something someone said to me. Sometimes it's my health. Sometimes it's that great cup of tea that I had. Sometimes it's the show that I watched while I was laughing with my kids. God, where are you? Show me where you were. And then the second half is, that first half's about God, second half is about me. God, tell me about me yesterday or today. Where did I not live out of love for God and neighbor? Just let God bring those to mind. And God, where did I live out of love for God and neighbor? Where did I? And let God bring those to mind. And as you write those down or discuss them with someone that loves you and cares about you, this gets to be a place where we get to say, break me, God, break me. God, break me so that I can see you. And we want to know where God is. We want to know where God is. He's around. We just need to be broken enough to see it. To say, God, I want you to come back. I want you to be in my life. I want to feel you. And we get to offer him with the places that we have and have not lived out of love for God and neighbor and say, God, keep me soft under your hand so that you can bend me, so that you can shape me, so that I can be a good gift to the world. I think it's a dangerous prayer, but I think it's one worth praying. Break me, God, break me. Let's pray together now. Jesus, we trust you because you have not come to control us. You have come to live with us, that we would surrender to you in love. God, forgive us for both trying to make ourselves strong and hard and rigid. And God, forgive us for serving something that's lesser than you. Break us, God, break us. Lord, we thank you that you dwell with the lowly, that you dwell with the contrite to revive us, to give us life, to bring resurrection into us, and that we could be a gift to the world. Well, thank you, Lord. Give us courage. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.